football. Now, let's start with, we have three teams left at 5-0, and if I said to you at the start of the year Seattle would be a team, you go, oh, okay, I could see that. Pittsburgh, I see that. Tennessee, based on last year's playoffs, absolutely, but, man, they flew under everybody's radar. What are you seeing from Tennessee, and can they keep up what they're doing?
Well, you know, they got off to the 3-0 start. In each game, they had to kick a field goal at the end of the game to win it. So it was, you know, by the skin of your teeth kind of wins. And you weren't sure what that actually looked like or what that meant. And I believe one of them was against Jacksonville. So it wasn't until really the last couple of games that you started to see what they've developed and continued to develop. And, you know, you got to give them so much credit because they're the one team so far that's really had to deal with the COVID reality, you know, closing the facility, not being able to practice for extended periods of time, having games moved, and all of that. And it just seems, you know, I said this, I love this. One of my philosophies is that teams become a reflection of their coach. And Mike Vrabel is just one of these guys that's just so steady, unflappable, doesn't make excuses, doesn't allow his team to have excuses. And you saw that, I think, again, you know, just yesterday they got ahead and they got behind and they had to make that last drive at the end of the game. And nothing seems to faze this team. And obviously Ryan Tannehill has just been a revelation in the last year and a half. So they just got a lot of good pieces. They play smart. You can tell Vrabel is a sort of a Bill Belichick disciple in how they play and protect the ball and don't make dumb mistakes and don't beat themselves. And so it's impressive to watch.
Is that also to that? And unfortunately, the Patriots are struggling a little bit without practice, but is it just saying, listen, let's not build in any excuses here. Keep yourself fit. We have some cohesion. Let's get out there and play. No excuses.
That's exactly right. And I think that just permeates down because if your coach is, if that's the mantra and that's what you're hearing, then, you know, you don't have any excuses when you go out and none are expected. And so you have to just give him a lot of credit. You know, they have a lot more creative offense. I think people just sort of think just hand it to Derrick Henry all day, which is, you know, pretty good strategy. But they do have a lot of playmakers in the passing game, and their offensive coordinator is a real, you know, really smart young guy. So they just got a lot of pieces together, and I am surprised they're 5-0, but it's a good team.
Mm. So they are an example, or Mike Vrabel appears to be an example. It goes against the grain of the Bill Belichick coaching tree, right, where we've seen some success. Looks like what's going on down in Miami might be the same. I didn't watch a lot of Dolphins-Jets, but I was mentioning, Duke, that I like the way Miami just looks like a team that's playing hard right now. First of all, they're enjoying each other, but I think they're really playing hard for their coach as well. I think the Dolphins are, I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs or win a bunch of games, but they appear to be finally headed in the right direction.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, that sort of idea of just playing hard. And you know, you look at the games that they've lost to some pretty good teams, but they're in every game, and they do. They just play hard. And Brian Flores deserves so much credit for, I mean, let's face it, last year it was literally a fire sale there, and everybody just expected them to go, you know, 1-15 or whatever it was, and he kind of patched them together, and they played hard in every game, and you know, made teams beat them. And I'm not sure about Fitzpatrick. I mean, yesterday you can't even really count. The Jets aren't even a professional football team, but they play hard for, they love Fitzpatrick. They play hard for each other, and they're a lot more talented than people think.
And is this also nice that you can win some ball games and people believe in it, and then you're not rushing to into the quarterback position?
Yeah, that's an interesting one because, you know, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You've seen what all of these young kids coming out of college now, they're so pro-ready. You know, you look at Burrow, you look at Herbert, other guys that have had a chance to play right away and have really, really done well. And so you wonder a little bit, you know, there's the two schools of thought. Do you want them to sit and learn and really develop and mature, or do you want to just get him in because, you know, he needs snaps and he needs reps like everybody else, and now is he going to be behind the curve a little bit? So it's an interesting one to see, but at the end of the day, you are paid as coaches and, you know, an organization to win games, and right now Fitzpatrick gives them the best chance.
So going into yesterday, Duke, I would say the best game looked like it was going to be Green Bay and Tampa Bay. It did not end up being the best game of the day. It was, you know, you had Green Bay dominate the first quarter, then you had Tampa Bay dominate the rest of the game. Just an off game for the Packers. What do you think happened in that game?
Well, I think what you saw was, and I think people maybe don't realize how good the Tampa Bay defense is. And, you know, they, like a lot of teams so far, it's been hit and miss week over week. Sometimes they look quite good, other times they they struggle a little bit. But you saw yesterday when they can really pressure the quarterback. And I think that's what you saw. After the first quarter, it felt to me like the Bucs just said, you know what? What we're doing isn't working. Let's just go after him. I think Rodgers had 53 yards passing the rest of the way and four sacks and two picks. And they just brought a lot of heat. And like any, I mean, no quarterback can withstand that, you know, play after play after play. And so you got that. The pick six obviously turned the momentum real quick. And then Tampa Bay got into a bit of a rhythm. And yeah, so I think really it was just a change, a little bit of a change of structure and strategy going into the, after the first quarter. And they just went after him and made him look very, very average.
Okay. And I know I'm a Tom Brady guy, but when push comes to shove, and I love Aaron Rodgers, when I see that kind of back up against the wall yesterday and the performances of the two, now you factor in the defensive side of it, but does that speak to why one guy has six Super Bowls and the other one has one?
You know what? I mean, well, I'm the same as you. I'm obviously a huge Brady fan, and what he's done is his body of work is unbelievable. To get to get to as many, what, nine Super Bowls, win six of them, is just amazing. Yeah, you know, I mean, Rodgers is I guess he's such a he's sort of a mercurial kind of guy, right? I mean, there's a lot of emotion around him all the time, and sometimes that emotion can rub off negatively, maybe on him or his team or his coaches. And so, yeah, when things are going really, really well, you know, he's Hall of Fame. And sometimes you see a little bit that he lets the emotion of things get to him a little bit, I think. And maybe that's what's held them back in the playoffs and in some key games. And, you know, there's more to it than just Aaron Rodgers, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, Brady, a little bit more businesslike, and Rodgers just a little bit different personality.
All right, Simmer, I want you to give Duke your what you brought up earlier, your whole thing about Ndamukong Suh and and Aaron, as a guy who used to play the game.
Yeah, no. I didn't like the fact that nobody else stepped in for Rodgers, and I'm not talking, you know, drop the gloves and fight. I just thought there could have been a little bit more of a pushback where it looked like from that point on, Tampa Bay was like, hey, we're going to do whatever we want to the star quarterback.
Yeah, and they've had a history going way back. I think it was Sue that stepped on Rodgers' foot, on his arm at some point a couple of years ago, and got fined for it. So they have a history, but it is a little bit telling that, you know, you don't have, typically it's the offensive line, right, that steps in to kind of shield the quarterback and get another guy's face. So you didn't see that yesterday. I'm not exactly sure why, but
well, would you like to see that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Okay. When you're a quarterback in any sort of way, shape, or form, if your quarterback is being challenged sort of after plays, trash talking, whatever, I think offensive line, it's incumbent on them to do and say something.
All right, we're talking football with Duke Ellington. All right, Duke, my friend Mr. Simpson, along with maybe a few New England fans who have been used to nothing but success for the last 20-odd years, are wavering on the bandwagon. I think Simmer's got a full foot off. He hasn't descended yet, but he's close. At 2-3, and we've seen New England a couple of years ago, right? It was like they were 2-2, and people were going out, and they pulled it together. Are they going to be able to turn the ship around this season, do you think?
You know what? I thought yesterday they looked just flat. And, you know, you can use excuses. You can talk about what happened with COVID and that they had a couple practices they couldn't have. And they've had injuries too. But you know what? So has everybody else. I mean, Denver played yesterday without Noah Fant, without Melvin Ingram, and without Von Miller. And they went into New England and won the game. So you can't use any excuses like that. They just look flat to me. They have, it's kind of a little bit reminiscent of early last year where they have no downfield passing weapons. Nobody that scares anybody. I mean, Julian Edelman is who he's going to be, which is underneath 7 or 8 yards, you know, and catching the ball and getting a headache for it. But they don't have anybody that really threatens deep. And to me, Cam Newton, his strength has never been getting the ball out quick and making good reads. And so I think yesterday you saw a little bit of all of that happening. But to me, they just looked flat. And defensively, I thought they hung in there. I mean, they forced Denver over and over and over again to kick field goals, and it almost came back to haunt them. But until they can, you know, threaten some people down the field, this is a passing league now in the NFL, and they just don't have any weapons.
And also to that, Duke, does this speak to, hey, the bad drafting in the sense of a bad team this year, and here you are, You got Cam Newton. You don't have a quarterback, which should be, you know, you can argue the Jimmy G trade forced by ownership, but they should be in a little better spot, should they not, especially at QB?
Well, where they've really done a poor job drafting and or finding the right fit is at the wide receiver position. And you saw it yesterday. They and Keel Henry, first round pick last year, and he's really done almost. And he looks very stiff and awkward. He doesn't look smooth. He doesn't look like, you look at some of these young kids that came out this year and just like night and day. So yeah, at every position on the skill side of the ball, they've always had a great, you know, wealth of running backs, and they've relied on design and obviously Tom Brady's decision making in the past. So they don't have any of that right now. So to answer your question, JR, I picked them not to make the playoffs, and so I don't think I'm too surprised right now that they're sitting where they are.
In your estimation, is Trevor Lawrence worth tanking for? Is he that good?
You know what? He's a great player, but it was interesting. I was listening to some stuff yesterday afterwards, and they were, you know, making the comment about the Jets, which it looks pretty obvious that there's no team as bad as New York, and that they will have the first pick. But you know, they were saying Sam Darnold isn't necessarily the problem, nor should you be thinking about giving up on him yet. The Jets need a whole lot of help elsewhere as well, and so you know, a lot of people are saying they shouldn't go after Trevor Lawrence. They should trade that draft pick and maybe get a whole bunch back. But to answer your question, he's head and shoulders the best quarterback in college coming out, and I think he's got. I think you look at sort of comparables, maybe like an Andrew Luck with his size. His ability to move is probably a little bit better, and it's tough to tell when he's playing teams like Georgia Tech. But
right.
He's got all the skills. He's big and strong and exactly what you want from a prototype NFL quarterback.
And I don't know if you're going to go to John Elway. If you represent this guy, do you want him stepping anywhere near the New York Jets football club?
Well, and you know what? That's another thing. You go back to the whole Eli Manning thing 15 years ago, whatever it was, 20 years ago, where he wouldn't go to San Diego. And if you're Trevor Lawrence, and that's the thing, right? I mean, you can be a stud quarterback, but if you've literally got nothing around you, you can get yourself hurt quickly. You can, you know, derail your career. You look back at a David Carr back in the day, right? I mean, he took so many hits that his career was shortened as a result. So, and Andrew Luck could barely play 5 years because of all the hits that he took. So you really have to be careful, and you're absolutely right. If you're the agents and looking at his long-term future, that may not be the place you want him to land.
But by the same token, guys, if you can succeed in New York as the quarterback, and the Jets don't quite have the cachet of the Giants, but they're not far off. If you could go there and you could be the guy, I mean, your ability to make money, make even more money than what will be an outrageously large contract is humongous.
No, and that's true. And I think if you're an agent these days, you're looking at the big picture, and so there is that part of the equation is, you know, what is it going to look like post-football? What's it going to look like outside of football during your career? And that's the biggest stage in the U.S. So upside for sure, but wow, that team, I mean, if anybody watched a tiny bit of yesterday, that team is just awful.
And also to that, Duke, you're almost better to go there as an established player because also the chances of the fans and the media tearing you apart. I mean, for a young guy to go into this, like the pressure there, like I say, if you do it, that's unbelievable. It's not like they're in a position to put anybody to set them up for that success.
Well, and that's what that's exactly what's happening to Sam Darnold. I think it's easy, just like it was with Ryan Tannehill 3 or 4, 5 years ago, right, is to say he's a bust. But look at the talent around him. Look what he doesn't have, and look what they haven't done to build, you know, any kind of foundation around him. And then it's so easy to say he's a bust. Well, you know, if you put him in Tennessee, if you put him in New England, if you put him elsewhere, you know, I think he'd be a heck of a lot better quarterback. So you're right. It's really unfair to put that on guys. And Trevor Lawrence by himself next year is not going to turn that franchise around. I mean, they're still going to be a huge work in progress.
There may not be a more disappointing team in football this year than the Minnesota Vikings, who lost to Atlanta, got blown out yesterday, and Atlanta hadn't won a game. And Kirk Cousins looks, you know, I thought really good in the playoffs last year. They gave him a 2-year extension. He absolutely stinks this year. Is the Kirk Cousins of this year what Kirk Cousins is? Is the Kirk, you know, or is he somewhere closer to where he was last year in the playoffs? And what has gone wrong in Minnesota?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because they did win the playoff game. I'm trying to think. It was New Orleans last year.
Yes, in overtime.
In overtime, yeah. So, I mean, that's not a very large body of work to suggest that suddenly he's figured it all out. And the, you know, when he got the big contract in Minnesota, there was a whole lot of questions about whether this guy was worth the money. And really, it's always been about turnovers with him and interceptions. And he thrives on teams that can run the ball well and play, you know, do play action. And yesterday, without Dalvin Cook, too, that's been hurting them as well. But, you know, you can't throw three interceptions in one half in the NFL and expect to win. So I think the Vikings really need to take a long look at that. But as you said, they've invested a ton of dough in this guy. And I just think he's just too up and down and has never really had enough of a longer sample size to be able to say that he's figured it out.
Winning the one game was like winning the Super Bowl. Did they not also rip the heart out of the team when they moved Diggs to the Bills?
Yeah.
Look at the difference of the two franchises right now.
Yeah, and that always hurts. But again, they drafted Justin Jefferson, who's been really, really good, and they still have Thielen. And, you know, I don't think, again, you can say just because one guy is gone that suddenly that's an excuse for Kirk Cousins. You know, a professional quarterback should be able to work around that, and lots of quarterbacks have played with less talent and done, you know, as well or better. So I think, yeah, is it a part of the equation for him? He was a bit of a security blanket for sure, but, you know, you got to be able to overcome that.
I was surprised that the Bills got blown out as badly as they did in Tennessee last week. What are your expectations tonight versus Kansas City?
You know, what's going to be interesting, and I think we've talked a little bit about the fact that the Bills defensively, now they've had injuries too, as have everybody, so, but I think going into the year, we all expected that defense was going to be top three and that Josh Allen would continue to develop, but that they weren't going to need to rely on him. But, boy, it seems now that whatever's going on the defensive side of the ball, they haven't got it figured out yet. And so tonight, if they're going to have a chance against Kansas City, and the Chiefs are coming off a pretty bad loss as well, you know, you got to think the Bills are going to need to keep themselves on the field offensively and keep Pat Mahomes on the sideline. I don't know if they can. I think it's going to need to be, we need to outscore them tonight.
Do you feel like at the same time, I've said this about Jimmy G last year, he had a couple of tough times, you learn from it. I know he got to a Super Bowl and lost, but kind of the same feeling with Josh Allen? This is just part of the learning curve?
Oh, of course. I mean, let's face it, nobody is going undefeated in the NFL this year, and despite the fact we got a couple of undefeated teams, they'll lose, and everybody's going to have those games. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had one yesterday, Josh Allen had one against Tennessee. You know, you can't go in the tank, you can't lose your confidence. You got to just keep doing what you're doing, and it's a long game that he has to play, and the Bills have to, you know, be patient with that too. So you're absolutely right. You can't just take and say, look bad last week, made some mistakes, so now he's regressed. That's not fair.
One other quarterback question for you, because I think this will be kind of, it's a, not a coming out party. I mean, people are big football fans, know all about Kyler Murray, but he hasn't really been on prime time, and he gets prime time tonight. He gets the Dallas Cowboys. What are your thoughts on Kyler? He's not the biggest guy in the world, and he brings a different dimension again to the quarterback position. Do you think long term this guy could be a superstar in the league?
You know what, superstar might be a bit strong. I think at the end of the day, NFL teams always seem to find ways to defend, you know, quarterbacks that can move. I mean, he might be even a faster, more sort of quick version of Lamar Jackson, but he's not as big. And I think he's going to have to continue to learn to be a thrower, which I think he's still pretty good already, but
yeah.
Superstar is probably a bit of a stretch, but I think he's a very, very good quarterback. He's a lot of fun to watch, and yeah. Tonight's game's going to be really interesting.
Incredibly dynamic player,
yeah.
Right? So he's
yeah.
I just wonder if the upside, and maybe, I don't know if the smarts are there, I haven't watched him enough, but you look at Russell Wilson, right? His ability to kind of maneuver around, and I just wonder if, you know, if everything goes out well, I wonder if there's that kind of upside to him. Because Russell Wilson is not a very big guy either, right?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, good stuff, Duke. Always appreciate the time and the insight. Enjoy the games tonight, and we'll chat again next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right, there is a Duke Ellingson joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, brought to you by Pizza Perks at Gabriel Pizza. Download the Gabriel Pizza Perks app and sign up today. I'm looking